Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike. February 9th, 2023. The deadline has been hit. 3 o'clock. You can't trade anybody after this. If a deal was put into the NBA offices, it can certainly be announced later on. But no more discussions. Put your pencils down. The test is over, and there have been some major moves, obviously. But the biggest one is, while you were sleeping, Kevin Durant was traded to the Phoenix Suns. And that stops and caps a five-year period in Nets history that really never existed. Think about it. Durant, Irving, Harden, three of the greatest players in NBA history, and they got one playoff series win out of it. They are right back to where they were before the Big Two came and then before Harden was acquired in a trade from the Rockets. That's it. They have a lot of draft picks. They have a good young team. Don't think the Nets have hit rock bottom. They're not getting Wembanyama. They're not doing that. They're not going to miss out on the playoffs. They'll probably be a play-in team. They've got a decent team, but they are right back to where they were before all of this started, when they had a decent team and they were 42-40 and Kenny Atkinson was the coach. That's it. This five-year period will be a laughingstock in all of sports history when they look at what the Nets did and the quality of the players that they brought in, and now they have nothing. They let two guys completely demolish 5 years of their existence. Think about it. Two guys. And I think the biggest laughingstock in all of this, and I've been listening to all the shows today, and this has not come up. The biggest laughingstock to me is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was led by his nose by Kyrie Irving, who completely, single-handedly demolished the Brooklyn Nets and everything they stand for. And Kevin Durant went along for the ride like a little lamb when he could have stayed in Golden State and picked up, we know, at least one more championship, probably two or three. And his reason for coming to Brooklyn, he and Kyrie wanted to do something special together. Well, you know what? He wanted to go to Phoenix, and now he's going to join another team with a lot of stars. And he left the team with better stars and better players to do something that never happened. And Kyrie Irving made him look like a complete fool. A complete fool. He might win a championship in Phoenix, but what happened? 5 years of his career, one because of an injury, the other 4 years completely wiped away because he followed a guy down the primrose path. And what did that guy do? The guy did nothing but really submarine everything that the Nets tried to do, including the Harden situation. The reason Harden demanded a trade was because of Kyrie Irving. And you know what? Kevin Durant stood back and let it happen. He was so docile throughout all of this. He never said anything publicly. And the second they traded Kyrie, he obviously told Nets management, I want to go as well. Laughingstock. He's a laughingstock. And the Nets, with the way this was mishandled, and I think they've recovered nicely, guys, because I don't think it's a terrible trade that they made with Phoenix, but they have no chance to win a championship, and they probably won't have a chance to win a championship until they take some of the draft picks they got and trade for a big-time player, which is where it starts all over again 5 years ago. It's stunning. It will be studied in classes in all sports on what not to do and how not to give the players that much power when you already acquire them.
Now, did they get it wrong trying to build the super team?
No.
Or did they just get the wrong players?
I think they got the wrong players.
I think they just got the wrong players. Now, listen, you want to do it the right way, whatever the right way may be, but it just seems like you draft well, you make shrewd trades, and you build a championship team. You try to take the easy way out and usually get slapped. But the thing that keeps circling back to is that they just got the wrong players. You know, Kyrie's an issue. And KD, it's just, I don't know if I can come up with another comparable. This is one of the top five players in the NBA. This is one of the greats of all time. And he's being led by a lesser player.
And
Kyrie's a great player. He's not KD. So, like, I don't understand how you're not the alpha male in the relationship. You're not the alpha male on the team. People should be wanting to play with Kevin Durant, following him around. Instead, he seems to follow everybody else. I'll go to Golden State and I'll win. Oh, I'll go hitch my wagon to Kyrie. Never, at least publicly, never criticized the guy. Never went public to say how he ruined your chances of winning a championship in Brooklyn. You know, and then slinks out to Phoenix, and we'll see how it ends up going from there. But, God, what an alpha dog on the court, but just not much leadership or really any kind of resolve at all from Durant.
Really soft.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say at this point. It's the whole thing is so disappointing and embarrassing. I suppose there's a world, I'm sure we'll hear from someone today. At least someone will call up and defend this and say that the, you know, we don't understand, and the Nets were horrible in all of this. And I'm not saying the Nets were perfect, because I think they made some mistakes along the way. But by and large, it truly is one of the great disappointments of all time. And, man, when you think about the years wasted on Durant's career, for like, you're right, Michael. Like, when he goes to the Hall of Fame as a first-ballot Hall of Famer, because, Don, this is a guy in Kevin Durant, he could be a top 10 player who ever lived.
Yep.
Okay? When we're looking at his ledger when he goes into the Hall of Fame 5 years after the day of his last game, we will look at this period and go, what was that again? Oh, yeah, that nonsense. And you're going to skip over it. And, man, most people aren't LeBron James. They don't play for 20 years. You can't afford to miss 4 years with nonsense. And that's what happened here.
It is exactly what happened. He frittered away 5 years of his prime. Now, the Achilles, there's nothing he could do. Golden State wanted him back. So he decided to hitch his wagon to a lesser player, a guy who obviously has issues, which he never, it seems, addressed with him. And he let the team be systematically destroyed by one man. And I don't think you could blame Sean Marks. As Don said, how could you blame anybody? Any GM or owner of an NBA team would have taken a swing with Durant and Kyrie Irving. Now, I think where Sean Marks made the mistake was the James Harden situation. And James Harden was a really, he was painted as the really bad guy who wanted out of Houston and then all of a sudden wanted out of Brooklyn. But you know what? He got it. He wasn't going to put up the nonsense like Durant. He got it that Kyrie was really the guy behind systematically destroying what they were trying to build. He wanted out right away. He knew, I'm not going to stand here and be led by this lesser player. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. So now in retrospect, to me, Harden doesn't look like a bad guy. Harden looks like a guy with some foresight and some intestinal fortitude, which Kevin Durant never had. Harden said, get me out of here now. Kevin Durant continued to, like, bow down to Kyrie Irving. It's ridiculous. I'll never understand it. And he cost himself two or three rings. He could have easily survived and thrived in Golden State with better players and a guy like Steph Curry, who is complete opposite of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving yesterday, he scores 24 points when Dallas beats the Clippers in L.A. And after the game, I'm so glad for Durant to get out of there. Shut up, Kyrie. And he also said, now that we're both in the Western Conference, we'll get a chance to see each other. See each other? You played together. You could have seen each other every single day.
God, if you didn't know any better, you just think that, like, KD owed Kyrie a favor or something. Like, it's just weird. Like, what's the backstory of not only following this guy to Brooklyn – but just like never showing any leadership whatsoever during any of the stuff that was going on, at least publicly. And I don't think anything was happening privately either. Very weird and just a shame. Now Brooklyn goes back to what they were, a very good general manager. They built a good team. You know, they may not be as relevant as they were during this whole thing, but really the relevancy was all just knocking them and making fun of them and not living up to expectations. So go back to obscurity, but you know what? I think at the end of the day, they'll probably have a better chance to win now, as crazy as that is to say.
I think all fans want is a little honesty from Durant. Stop singing the praises of Kyrie. Kyrie was the guy who destroyed this. So the big three that they got, they had three of the best players. Think about that. In NBA history on the team. I believe they played 16 games together. 16 games where all three are on the court. They were 13-3. They're 13-3, so it could have worked.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the egos and the strangeness of Kyrie Irving. Harden recognized it, and Durant was the supplicant here. He just laid back and said, well, whatever you want to do. You're the boss. You're the boss. You're the great one of the greatest players of all time. You're going to finish second to LeBron in points scored in NBA history, and you're letting this guy lead you down the primrose path? It's amazing to me.
You know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, comparing LeBron to Jordan. You know, in the knocks, we even got a phone call. LeBron had the manufacturer's championships, bouncing from team to team, the decision. Like, it all comes across as LeBron's a bad guy, and the weakness of LeBron not just staying in Cleveland and winning the way Michael stayed in Chicago. If you have that opinion, what do you think of Durant? Couldn't win in Oklahoma City, goes to Golden State, wins, then, you know, leaves to go to Brooklyn to build a super team, then bolts on Brooklyn to go to Phoenix. So how has that looked? How is that age for Durant? If you're going to kill LeBron, what KD has done is 10 times worse. At least LeBron was the leader. He was the figurehead every place that he went. Even though Durant won the MVPs, that was still Curry's team.
Right. Yeah, Durant was the figurehead. Durant was always along for the ride. He didn't want to lead in Oklahoma City. He took the Warriors to 7 games with Oklahoma City and then wanted out. Couldn't stay there. Doesn't really want to be the guy who's doing the heavy lifting and dragging the team across the finish line. He wants to be part of something, which doesn't make sense because he was part of something that was all-time great with Golden State.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be the guy.
And
he was the
guy.
He was the guy on paper in terms of the points, but he wasn't Steph. That team
was
on Steph Curry's back.
Oh, I get it. But I'm saying, but he never wanted to be the guy is what I'm saying. He never wanted to lead the team across the finish line. So with Golden State, he didn't have to. He just had to be great, which he is. And then he decided, you know what? I'm going to hook up with this guy, Kyrie Irving, because, you know, he's going to really help me burnish my image because we're going to build something in Brooklyn and win rings that nobody thought were winnable. How cheap is your ring in Phoenix going to be if you get it? And you, Kyrie, how cheap is your ring in Dallas you're going to get? Because you're not getting a ring in Dallas. KD might get a ring in Phoenix. The Western Conference is ripe to be taken. Now, I don't know if either of those teams could beat the Celtics. Celtics won a game yesterday with practically nobody on the court, and they still won a game with their bench. So I'm not quite sure who's going to beat them. But, boy, oh, boy, it's so distressing. It really is. It's distressing that Kevin Durant wasted the talent like this.
And with that beautiful Celtics win, them doing exactly what they do all the time, Don also hit his ice pick and roll.
Yeah! That's right.
Yeah! Yeah!
Big. Is that we should call it that, right? That's good.
That was Ballard's. That was Ballard's take. I enjoyed it.
I like ice pick and roll. And that paid it up plus 151.
Ballard.
That was nice.
Man. But now the Knicks also made a deal, and it's not a bad deal. They got Josh Hart. From the Trailblazers, this was last night for Cam Reddish, Ryan Arcidiacomo, a Savi Mikhailik, and a protected 2023 first-round pick goes to Portland. So Hart's a good player, not a great player, and he teams up again with Brunson. They both played together in Villanova. He's averaging 8.2 rebounds this season, most by a player at 6'5 or shorter, also leads the NBA in offensive rebounds per game. He's not shooting the three the way he should be, but it's a nice pickup. It's going to be interesting to see what the Knicks do because they've been going with a 9-man rotation. They did not trade anybody from their rotation. Cam Reddish wasn't playing.
No.
So are you going to go to 10 or is somebody going to sit? But, you know, if you really take a deep dive into this trade, though, they gave up a first-round draft pick for Cam Reddish. Now to get rid of Cam Reddish and to pick up Josh Hart, they gave up another first-round draft pick.
Right.
So is Josh Hart really worth two first-round draft picks? Because that's essentially what they did. I don't think they should be applauded for that. That's not great use of capital.
And also, did Leon Rose check with Thibodeau to see if he's going to play Hart? Because he didn't check with him with Reddish. I mean, you give up a first-round pick. He didn't play Reddish. So is he on board with this? There was clearly a disconnect with Reddish. You go out and you acquire him, and he doesn't play. at all.
Now, it's funny because, you know, we're talking about the Knicks. Knicks are a decent team. They're not by any stretch of the imagination a team that could even get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're a decent team. So everybody that spoke about the Nets taking over the city, it's laughable now. It's absolutely laughable now. The Knicks are the team. They were even the team when Kyrie and Durant were in Brooklyn, and now the big stars are out of Brooklyn. You know what? The last man standing for the Brooklyn Nets in terms of a star is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons essentially plays like a role player, and he's a maximum contract player. He's a role player. He can't score. He can pass the ball, and he plays good defense, and he's certainly not available all the time because of injury. It's awful. But one thing, listen, you can all call in and say what you want. Feel free. But Knicks fans can't gloat. They can't gloat at all because at least the Nets took a swing at it. They didn't stand there in the box and take strike three. They took a swing at it. What have you done? What have the Knicks done in the last 20 years? So calm down for Knicks fans to be celebrating over the grave of the Brooklyn Nets.
Wow.
Brooklyn Nets took a shot. Yeah. It blew up in their face, but Don, they took a shot.
No, I know they took a shot, but I could see where Knicks fans are very happy today.
I could see it too, but they can't gloat. What have they done?
Well, I guess they could have done this, if you believe some of the rumors, but didn't want to because they knew it was going to blow up. I don't know if you want to give that much credit, but could they have done this? And whether it was Dolan or management said, I'm not hooking my wagon to Kyrie because I don't want it to end bad. Because if that were the case, they do deserve credit for that.
Yeah, but if you believe Stephen A., I mean, I thought that the Knicks didn't want him because they didn't want Kyrie. But Stephen A. said they were in on it and they wanted him. And it was, for a while, it looked like those two guys were going to the Knicks. Maybe the Knicks had a better structure. Here's the problem with what the Nets did when they got Kyrie and Durant. They turned the franchise over to them. Here, you guys run it. Oh, you don't want Kenny Atkinson? Okay, we'll get rid of him. Oh, you want a neophyte like Steve Nash? Okay, we'll hire him. The one thing that they didn't acquiesce on was Durant said, for me to come back, I want Marks gone and I want Nash gone. Well, it took 7 games to get rid of Nash, but, you know, Joe Tsai said no. Here's another thing that Net fans make me laugh about. Joe Tsai's being cheap. You know, he took 5 of the second-round draft picks that he got and turned around and traded 2 of them to the Bucks and a couple of players as well to save $100 million in tax. Any businessman would do that. I think he was willing to pay a lot of money in tax if there was a chance for them to win. They don't have a chance to win a championship now, so if he could dump money, he should dump money. Anybody who criticizes that is really a financial fool. I think he's doing the prudent thing. You get rid of players that are going to cost you a lot of money when you go over the tax because you can't win. They'll make the playoffs, but they can't win a championship. I don't think they're going to be able to win a championship for years. And it's going to be interesting to see if Joe Tsai actually stays with Sean Marks. And I think he should, because I think for the most part, Sean Marks has done a pretty decent job. The big mistake that he made was getting James Harden. And his recovery in trading Harden was even worse than getting him. Because what they got from Philadelphia, Ben Simmons is not a good player. He's not a star player, especially to make $40 million. He's not. And the fact that he's still on the team, he's immovable. You've got an immovable object for James Harden. That's a big mistake.
They gambled on maybe the whole mental thing is just in Philly. We'll snap him out of it. It didn't happen.
No.
This is who he is now.
And also, Peter, he has a bad back. So the mental thing, let's push that aside. I mean, you have to give the guy, if he has issues mentally, okay, you have to deal with that. He has a back issue. And even when he's 1,000% healthy, he's a 47% free throw shooter. He's afraid to shoot in games, which is exactly what Joel Embiid was complaining about. You've got yourself a completely limited player that in a perfect NBA world is a guy off the bench to play some defense. Not an offensive force. He's just not. What a terrible trade that was. That was worse than the trade to Houston. And you're not going to get out from under that because you got 2 more years of this guy. Who wants him? Trade deadline, 3 o'clock. obviously earth-shattering moves by the Nets over the last couple of games. And I just knew it when Durant would not talk to the media.
Yeah.
That something was brewing. Because the second that his good buddy was traded, he wanted out too. I'm just surprised that the Nets gave in. Because don't you think that they would have gotten a better package during the offseason? Why give in? Because as long as you had Durant, you had a chance to do something. You combine Durant with what they had, and they have a chance to win a round or two. Now I'm not sure they do. Why give in? You still had him under contract for 3 more years.
Yeah, but if he doesn't want to be here, when does that ever work?
Yeah, but you know what? In the NBA, they always acquiesce to the players when they say they don't want to be here. In the NFL, when a player doesn't want to be there, the owners say, just sit down and play. They give in to the players too much.
Yeah, but it's such a star-driven league, Michael. All right, so you hold on to Durant. You don't go anywhere this year. And then during the offseason, you try to move him, but it's a different set of circumstances in the offseason. Like right now, deadline, Phoenix thinks they've got a chance to do something this year. And then if you decide to keep him for the length of his contract, he doesn't want to be there. He pouts. Does anybody want to come play with him knowing he doesn't want to be there?
But don't,
could
I'm
demand
saying,
a trade?
Don't
you, could want his coach fired? Could want his general manager fired? In football, unless you're a quarterback, you really don't go screaming and yelling and making demands. In the NBA, you can do that. You control the reins.
The only thing I give him credit for, guys, is he didn't say it publicly like Kyrie did. So they were working a little bit from strength because he didn't say, listen, I want to be traded or I'm not going to play in the second half. Kyrie came out publicly and said, I want to be traded, or he leaked it to people, and then it was published. So the Nets were playing, with one hand tied behind their back. Durant probably just went to Marks and Sy and said, I want out of here, but he didn't make it public. He didn't leak it to anybody, and they got a pretty good deal. They got pretty good players for
it. It might not even have been him demanding. They might have just asked him. Hey, listen, Kyrie's gone. What do you want to do? You want to be here or not? Because we got a chance to move you. So he may not even have went to them. He might have went to KD, which is the smart thing to do. I think they're just better off, Michael. I understand what you're saying. He's under contract. He's a great player. Let's move on. All right? They went for it. Didn't work. Let's reconstruct the roster again. Start over. And the cool thing for the Nets, it's a dumpster fire, but they can go back to being what they are. I mean, they're kind of, back to the lower profile team where they can now do a slow burn, build this up. They've got their fan base, right? But they're not on the grand stage anymore where they're under the microscope every single day and kind of go about their business with a lot less pressure. And I think that's where Marks can really excel. That's where they were before they decided to go for it.
Right. When Marks took over, they had no draft picks. Mm-hmm. He had a team that was in disarray, and he built them up slowly and steadily. That's why I think he is the guy for this job, because he's actually done this before, and they built a great culture until they let these two guys in. And that's the mistake. That was the big mistake. But everybody would have made it. Everybody would have made that mistake. Sorry, I'm not going to rip them for getting these two guys. The only thing I rip them for is the Harden deal and then the subsequent Harden deal. That was awful. And the picks that he's getting in the Kyrie deal and obviously in the Durant deal, 4 first-round picks, they're just making up for what he gave up in the Harden deal. And the Harden deal is a deal that's going to continue to hurt them because Houston has control of 3 of their first-round picks. They could switch the first-round picks, flip them. So, I mean, now the Nets' first-round picks are going to be worth a lot because they might not finish in the top. And it's not like Houston is going to, flip them, because Houston's going to be awful as well. Very complicated. But I'm going to talk to Nick Friedell in just a moment. He covers the Nets for ESPN. And we'll get his take on what this leads to. What's next? Is Marks the guy that lead them forward? You know what this reminds me of, Don? I wouldn't ask Peter because he's too young.
Okay.
The 5 years of the Nets, it reminds me of that one season on Dallas when Bobby was in the shower. Did it really ever happen? That previous year, it was all a dream. And in this case, what a bad dream.
Well, a nightmare.
Well, if you want to take it a step further, Michael, just really kick it old school. That 5 years was like the whole run of Newhart.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Yeah.
All it was a dream from the Bob Newhart show.
Kiss Suzanne Plachette, and boom, it never happened.
Never happened.
Wow.
But unfortunately,
what an embarrassment.
This is where I spin it back, because I think it's forgotten about, as I do feel bad for Net fans. The passionate, diehard Net fans, they get made fun of. Your team's not important. Nobody cares. and they all of a sudden they got a chance to dance, you know, near the sun, thinking that they were going to finally get that elusive championship and matter, and they get smacked back down. I feel bad for those fans because they went because to those fans, Michael, it did happen and it hurt.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Nick Friedell, who covers the Nets for ESPN. Nick, let's make sense of all of this. Did the last 5 years ever happen? I just compared it to the old show Dallas. You're probably too young for that, but it's like Bobby just came out of the shower and these 5 years didn't happen.
I still can't believe that my plane landed like a year ago and 9,000 different things happened. And now a year later, it feels like all these things happened like 10 years ago, because every day with this team is another chapter filled with drama. So I've never seen anything like it in my 15 years covering the league. There are a variety of reasons why, and we can kind of go through everything, but to think that the Nets, even a few weeks ago, still thought they could make a legit run at a title. And now today, having moved Kevin Durant right after moving Kyrie Irving and realizing they are back at square one, is almost hard to believe for any other team besides these Brooklyn Nets.
Was this a situation, Nick, at least the Durant thing, where he demanded to go, or did they feel that this was a prudent thing right now?
It feels like, in the end, once they moved Kyrie, that Kevin knew that this team was no longer good enough. And I give you a little more context to that, guys, in that Kevin Durant is the most approachable star that I've come across in the game. The other night, when they played the Clippers, we were standing there waiting for Kevin in the hallway in Barclays. And Kevin, he enjoys the conversation more than anybody that I've come across, just in the, you know, what's going on, what are you guys doing, et cetera, et cetera. Kevin, when he was walking down to go get in his car, I said, is there anything that you want to say? Because he knows full well that the NBA is a 24/7 deal. There's always going to be questions. Certainly after they moved Kyrie, everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. And Kevin, for the first time in my dealings with him, and I've interviewed him for over a decade, I've covered him now in two different cities over the last few years, day to day, he walked by us like we didn't exist. And to me, that was the tell that not only did he not want to discuss it, but he was thinking about a lot of different stuff and potentially, as we've seen, getting out of Brooklyn. So I think there are a lot of different factors, notably that they just weren't good enough. I think that the relationship that he had built through time and what he had been able to do for this team in showing up every day and trying to be the star that he knew they needed, I think that was respected internally. But let's face facts, guys. Going back to the summer, that relationship had started to get hurt a little bit. We heard the stuff with Nash and Marks. We heard about Phoenix back then. And when he had decided, okay, it's time to go, I think everybody understood what that meant, and now here we are with him going to Phoenix for real this time.
Yeah, so what team, What teams is ESPN sending you to, Nick? Because, I mean, come on, they're not going to keep you in this place for a long time.
No, they're not. Definitely not. I don't know exactly where I'm going to end up at this point. I would think I would spend a little time in the short term in Phoenix and kind of see what happens. But, guys, the reality is
Kyrie will be so excited.
On my leash. Oh, yeah. I mean, more Dallas if I got there. I'm sure he'd be really stoked to see.
Oh, sorry, Phoenix. You'd be following KD, not Dallas. Got it. Apologies.
Yeah, no Dallas. But I've got 6 weeks left on my lease in my apartment in New York City. And then it's anyone's guess where I land at that point. But, I mean, we all know how this works, especially for ESPN. It's about the teams that draw the attention, and it's about stars. And that's really one of the realities that the Nets are going to have to deal with, because for as strong as a portion of that fan base is, guys, the fan base just isn't very big. And it hasn't been, because they're essentially an expansion team in Brooklyn that's trying to build their way up. And when you take away the star power that group had and you try to build it back again, that is going to be a real, real challenge for that ownership group.
As KD sits here, Nick, and looks at what went wrong, does he blame himself? Does he blame Kyrie? Does he blame the Nets? Where do you think KD puts the blame on how it all went down?
If he's being honest with himself, I mean, he deserves blame for choosing Kyrie. I mean, this is where the final story of all this, guys, is going to be written. And Kevin, for as fantastic of a player as he has been and continues to be, is always going to have to answer the question as to, forget leaving the Warriors. I know there's so much about that narrative. Well, he left the Warriors and Steph Curry. It's true. But put that aside just for a second. He chose Kyrie. And when you talk to people, even in the last couple of weeks in that Nets organization, they would say the same thing, and they've been saying it for the last couple of years. Their point was that the Nets aren't really dysfunctional. Kyrie is dysfunctional. But that's when you point out, well, they didn't have to sign Kyrie. And then the other side of that is, well, they probably weren't going to get Kevin Durant. It was a deal that everybody in the league would have made. You can sign Kevin Durant, but you have to take Kyrie Irving with him. And that's what they chose. And eventually it blew up in their face. So do you blame Kyrie? Of course. I mean, anybody in that organization that's lived through the last few years is going to say, well, if Kyrie didn't do this, or this, we might be in a better place. But I'd also add, guys, and this, again, of course, goes back to Kyrie because of the vaccination stuff last season. But when you start breaking down these Nets moves, they would have been better off trying to call James Harden's bluff and saying, hey, James, just stay. To see what happens when Kyrie can come back full-time and Kevin comes back off the knee injury and this team is fully loaded again. And they didn't. They trade him to Philly. And, guys, that Ben Simmons contract absolutely has crushed this team, because there's just no way to get off that much money. That's why I was kind of chuckling the last few days when people would say, oh, well, they can make different moves and try to get Kevin Durant to stay. But yeah, that's all contingent on getting out of that Ben Simmons deal. And very clearly, nobody wants that Ben Simmons deal. So there are always going to be dots to connect, and there's a lot of blame to go around. But at the center of it all, as always, is Kyrie Irving.
Nick Friedell is our guest, ESPN NBA reporter. He's been on the Net beat for the last couple of years. Nick, I've got to ask you this, because you know Durant from covering him in two cities. He probably left three rings on the floor by leaving Golden State, which, I mean, they wanted him back even though they knew he'd miss a whole year. What was the attraction? What's the connection? Why connect yourself to a lesser player? Still a great player, but certainly not on the stratosphere level of Kevin Durant. Why did he do that when he could have stayed in Golden State with a more reliable star in Steph Curry and other stars as well? What's behind it? Do you have any clue?
Michael, I think the big part about the divorce from the Warriors and the professional basketball relationship with Kyrie is that Warriors relationship, having lived it day to day, covered it. that had just kind of run its course. I don't think necessarily it was Kevin versus Steph or Kevin versus whoever. He just kind of got tired of not being at the forefront. And he talked about it. It was Kevin Durant and the Warriors, never just the Warriors. And I do think that bothered him. As far as the Kyrie stuff goes, I'm in it every single day. And there are still times when I'm like, I don't understand. What I can tell you is Kyrie, and you guys have heard it, and I'm sure played it on the show a lot, he continues to say, you know, I'm an artist out there. I feel like I'm putting on a different show each night. And what I can tell you, having been around Kevin, is Kevin feels the same way. There is a connection there from a basketball standpoint and a human standpoint. I mean, the Kevin sees Kyrie not only as an equal, but somebody who sees a lot of the world the same way he does. And I can hear people saying that and kind of rolling their eyes and thinking, huh, you know, what? But I'm just telling you that relationship between those two, while it was never as close as it appeared to be the last couple of years in terms of one guy can't go somewhere without the other guy, I think both guys understood each other at a higher level than most of their teammates. And when that happens, that's when you make those choices. But again, this goes back to, till the end of time, Kevin is going to have to answer why, in the prime of his career, he attached himself to Kyrie Irving. And there's just not a very clear-cut answer for that, especially given the way things ended up with the Nets.
Well, Nick, if Kyrie's an artist, it's abstract at best and probably cubist, because I just don't get it. I mean, obviously, when he's on the court, he's amazing, but he submarines everything that he does. And he'll submarine Dallas, too.
I couldn't agree more, and I thought it was pretty comical, frankly, that Mark Cuban, the Mavericks, oh, you know, Jason Kidd, we're going to find a way to make this work. Guys, can you imagine the egos in play here? The two guys who are really coming after Kyrie in the last week, trying to get him on their team, were Mark Cuban and LeBron James. Those two guys were convinced, oh, well, it didn't work in these three other places, but it'll work here. Come on. I forget just the Nets in the last year. I have never come across a character in sports like Kyrie, who is unbelievably gifted. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best offensive guards we've ever seen. At the same time, when everything is going well for a team that Kyrie plays for, that's when things go bad. I mean, the track record has repeated itself at every stop in his career. It will happen again in Dallas. You can set your watch to it. Whether or not it happens in the next few months, we'll see. But it will happen. And anybody who thinks that they can convince themselves otherwise is fooling themselves in a major, major way.
Well, you've done great work on Brooklyn. We'll miss you. We'll follow you wherever you go. Thanks, Nick.
I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate being with you. And thanks for giving me the chance to contribute to the show.
You got it.
Yeah, you've been awesome. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Another team at MSG did make a significant move after they beat the Canucks last night 4-3. Don, tell us about this. Tarasenko's a pretty good player.
Well, he's a very, very good player. Now, he did have a shoulder situation a couple of years ago, so he slowed down a bit, but still, seven times he has scored 30 or more goals in his career. He's a right winger, which they desperately needed. Their top line right now had Jimmy Vesey on the right wing, and no offense to Jimmy Vesey, he's a nice player. They just gave him a two-year contract extension. He's not a top-line winger. Tarasenko is. He plays the right wing, can play the top line, play with Panarin and Zibanejad. He can play on the power play. He's going to add a tremendous amount of offense to this team that's really starting to warm up with Hedl now with seven goals in his last five games. And, you know, Zibanejad and Panarin have been great. Kreider has gotten better after the slow start. You plug him in. Mikola is a defenseman that they get. It is a spare part. But he's still, you want depth at defense, and you didn't really have to give up much. Blay was a fourth-line player, didn't really give you anything offensively at all. A young defenseman in Hunter Skinner, who the Rangers have a plethora of, And you don't worry about the first-round pick. It'll be the latter of either Dallas or the Rangers pick, whichever one is worse, and a fourth-round pick in 24. So you didn't give up much. He's a free agent at the end of the year. You got that to deal with, but the Blues are able to pick up half of his salary, so you're able to fit it into the cap this year. You're a win-now team. And they believe that this team, with the right mixture offensively, can win a Stanley Cup. And guess what? This guy won a Stanley Cup, and he had a phenomenal run in the Cup final, to the Cup Finals and the Cup Championship in 2019, and the Rangers don't have anybody with any Cup experience, and now they got a significant player who just won a Cup in 2019. So I think Drury did it again. He pulled off the Vetrano and Kopp deals last year that got him over the top, and now you did it early enough. It wasn't like you did it on March 3rd. The deadline's March 3rd. They did it here on February 9th, which means they can jump right in tomorrow against Seattle with him and really maybe compete for a chance to win this division. It's going to be tough, but you solidify a playoff spot, try to get home ice advantage, and make no mistake. I mean, the Knicks are trying to make deals to get in the playoffs. The Rangers are trying to make deals to win a Stanley Cup. They don't believe last year was a fluke, but they did lose Cobb and Vetrano in free agency. They lost Strome, and they felt like they had to replace those players. And with Tarasenko, they got a ton of offense. They made their power play, which has been stagnant over the last month, better. This is a significant move for the New York Rangers, big time.
I'll put you on the spot. Are they Stanley Cup worthy now?
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. You know, they came within two games of going to the Cup final last year.
Right.
You know, so you know that they've got the goaltender. They've got the coach who went to a Stanley Cup final with Vegas in their first year. And now you add a Cup winner in Tarasenko. Yeah. Now, will they win the Cup? I mean, listen, the Devils are very good. The Hurricanes are very good in their own division. You still have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who went to three straight Stanley Cup final in your conference. Boston looks like the best team in the NHL that we've seen in the last 20 years. But are they that much different now with Tarasenko than they were in Game 6 of the conference final last year? Yeah, they in some ways, just because of the experience from last year, maybe in a better spot. And because they made this move, guys, on February 9th, and the deadline's not until March 3rd, they still have $1 million of cap space, they still may have another move on the horizon. So to answer your question, yes, they are certainly in the conversation.
If they don't win the Cup and they don't re-sign Tarasenko, is this a bad deal?
No. Okay. No, because what did you give up? You gave up one of your first-round picks this year, which, again, the Rangers are hoping. Dallas is very good, too, so it's probably going to be somewhere in the high 20s, the first-round pick. I mean, Sammy Blaze, he's a nice fourth-round line player. You give up a young defenseman, but like I said, they've got young defensemen already in their system and on the team as it is. Your oldest defenseman is Jacob Trouba. So, yeah, you go for the run, and if it doesn't happen, did you cripple yourself? No, I don't think you have. And I think you would have the cap space to be able to make moves during the course of the offseason. So I thought this was a great pull by Chris Drury, and I don't think they're done.
All right, good enough. It's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Nets are in action. Nets at the Bulls, so we'll have that on yesterday.
New-look Nets, show. Michael. No, that's the new-look Nets.
This is a TNT game, so this is a TNT.
The wow.
On Nets, TV. Yeah. Islanders in the Canucks, that'll be on 10:50. And the Devils against the Kraken, those are the locals that are in action. Yeah. Knicks are not playing tonight.
I think we talked a little bit too much about Huggis. We jinxed it.
Why? What happened to Huggis?
He's week to week now with an upper body injury.
Week to week?
Yeah.
I don't want to break this to Charlie.
Huggis. Go back to calling him player. Hughes. Just call him Hughes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.